Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're going to dig into the Bible, might be a little more studying. We'll see how it goes, but I want to dig into a verse and a passage, and then we'll look at a couple of other things. But something, I don't know if you have seen it, but I have seen it going around the last couple days on Facebook and Instagram and things like that, is the that I've seen shared with different people is the eclipse that's coming up, and there you see these maps of where it's going to go, and then they've taken basically North America and they've put this one that's coming up and the one before it, and it draws some kind of a thing, and then they're talking about letters that it could be, and hieroglyphs and Greek and Hebrew and different things like that. And then they use a bunch of facts and a bunch of different statements. And then all of a sudden, they're saying it's a sign from God, you know. So, and, you know, here's the thing. We can't, obviously, when we come in, we can't dig into every single time somebody makes a claim of the Bible, you know, in a Facebook post. But I think this one's caught my eye, and it's been shared quite a bit. So it's getting more, and I'm sure it will get more and more popular as the days, you know, as the week goes by and we get a lot closer. But I just want to dig into God's word and see what God's word really says. You know, I'm not in the business of making too many catchy, you know, pictures and showing them on Facebook and different things like that. But one thing we can do is we can dig into the Word and see what it really says, and see if what the Bible says really backs up what people are sharing. And if someone is then thinking about sharing it in the future, maybe they'll consider what the Bible says. But I had you turn to Luke 21:25, but I'm going to read one verse from Genesis first, because this post that I've seen, or the popular one, starts off with two different verses. So I'm going to read. First one is Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So that's the first verse. Then right after it, Luke 21:25, they only do verse 25, but I want to look at the next couple verses. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. And Lord, I'm glad that we don't have to speculate. We don't have to take an opinion poll or anything like that. We can dig into your word. Lord, I'm glad you gave it to us. I'm glad it's error-free and perfect. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to learn tonight, draw us closer to you, and Lord, that we can learn from the truth, and we don't have to guess. And Lord, we thank you for all those things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So one, the reason these things become so popular, and one of the reasons why I was digging into this one, is this stuff happens over and over again. I don't know if you've seen it, whether it's something happens with the moon, or, you know, like right now, an eclipse, or all kinds of different things. These different things that are a little more rare happen, and people all of a sudden, they want to start to predict the return of Jesus Christ. You've probably seen it over and over again. And one of the things, the problems is right off the bat, it causes confusion so often, is what it does right off the bat. Because if I say that this is when this event is going to trigger the return of Jesus Christ, or it's a signal of his return, and then the event comes and passes and Jesus doesn't come back, that confuses people, or it hurts their faith because they don't understand. Now, wait a second. So-and-so said that once this many blood moons happen, happened and this happened and everything else happened, that the Lord would come back, and now the moons have come and passed, and in a couple weeks that eclipse will come and pass, and we're still here and things haven't changed. And here's the thing to remember, the men and women predicting dates is not something new. This has been happening over the centuries. Dates have been thought up and proposed. Books have been written. Today they can record videos and YouTube videos and different things and posts and everything else. But here's the thing. We look in the past, I can't remember, is it 88 reasons why he'll come back in 88, and then they had to do 89 or 87 and 88 or something like that. But, they've all been wrong. And that's the thing. We are incredibly good at predicting when the Lord will not come back. We are very good at that. And men have done that over and over again. And it should not be a surprise, because Jesus Christ himself said in a parallel passage to Luke 21, Matthew 24, 36, he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And he mentions different things, different signs and different things in that Matthew 24 passage. Some of the things are a little different than Luke 21, but one of the things in Matthew 24, 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And here's the thing, we ask that question, has that happened yet? Has Matthew 24, 29 happened yet, where the sun was darkened, the moon didn't give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven? No, the stars are still there. When the sun sets, we can look up in the sky, and we can look up in the sky just like Abraham was told to look up in the sky, and we can see the stars that are there. We could probably see less because of the light pollution and the clouds and everything, but the stars are there. The tribulation has not occurred. The stars have not fallen from heaven, so it's a future event. So the Lord is saying, hey, for this future event, man is not going to know the day and the hour. He is very clear with that. That's why it drives me crazy when people predict a date of when the Lord's coming back. The Lord said it won't happen. No man can do it. But here's the thing. This eclipse that's coming up, that's the subject of the Facebook post, it is coming on April 8th, 2024. In the city of Marion, it's going to start at 3:11 p.m. and 14 seconds, and it will start in Delaware at 3:11 and 36 seconds. It will last in Marion for 3 minutes and 34 seconds, and it will last in Delaware for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. If the Lord said that no man will know the day and the hour, we know this to the second. We know exactly how many seconds it's going to hit and stay. Why? Why do we think? And here's the thing. Jesus said when the sun is darkened and the moon is not giving her light, that no man would know that time when it comes, when that actually happens. So here's the thing. If we know this eclipse down to the second, when it'll start and stop as it goes the entire way through, is that a sign of the coming? It can't. It can't, because Jesus said you won't know the day or the hour. So that is something, and that verse that, but of that day, no day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When we're dealing with future events, when we're dealing with prophecy, things become trickier. There's sometimes some symbolism that you have to work through. You have to pull in Daniel and Revelation and other places and kind of put it all together, and it can become tricky. Passages like Matthew 24 can become tricky and different things like that. But in a verse like this, it's plain and simple. He says, hey, you're not going to know the day or the hour. No man's going to know. And if you would just take, when you have a verse that's that simple, you can take the more complex, you can take the tricky, you can take the hard to understand and use the simple and say, hey, the simple says this, so if we think the complex says that and it's going against the simple, the complex is wrong. We've got it wrong. right? It's one of those things that the plain meaning of a verse, if a verse is plain and we can tell what it means, then we can't use a complex verse over top of the plain verse. Does that make sense? That just, in studying your Bible, it's something that's true. And that's why I, many times, when I've been a little confused about something, when I've been trying to figure out something, I go back to the plain things that the Bible says that are without question, that are not hard to understand, and I use those as my my guide for things that are trickier and say, hey, if what I think this passage means that's tricky, is it breaking any of the verses I know? And if the answer is yes, then I'm the one that has to go back. So what's he say? So one of the questions is this. In Acts chapter 1, we have kind of a similar question to Matthew 24. They were asking Jesus questions. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, the disciples had asked in verse 6, they were asking this question. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know, hey, when are you going to overthrow Rome? When are you going to rule and reign here? So they're asking him that question. Look at verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And he's saying, hey, if I wanted you to know this, I would have told you. I would have told you exactly when it is. I'd have given you a date, because we know the Lord knows these things. He knows, God knows the future. He knows what's coming. He's telling us very clearly, both in Matthew, here in Acts, when you're talking about the end, when you're talking about Israel coming back to power, whatever the timing question is, he's giving the same answer. It's not for us to know, and we won't know it. So then why do we spend so much time, and not as much us, but why do men spend so much time calculating, crunching numbers, you know, using the computer, Googling, and everything else? And why do we spend so much time listening to these so-called prophets make videos and these posts and everything else? Because again, I believe it's dangerous for the faith, and it is a waste of time. Because the danger is, when it doesn't come to pass, you start to blame God or look less at his word or something like that, when in all reality, we're going against what the word says. But Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But the next verse, verse 8, but ye shall receive power, that after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he's saying, hey, instead of worrying about when Israel's going to come back to power and rule the earth, instead of worrying about that question, which you're not going to know, here's the thing I want you to know, that you're going to have the Holy Spirit, and not just the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a witness of me from here in Jerusalem, next to Samaria, and then to the whole world. He's saying, hey, what I want you to do is be thankful that you have the Holy Spirit and tell people about me. Because here's the truth. You get these big posts, and it's got the neat maps and the crisscrossing, and you're talking about all this random stuff and trying to loosely pull it all together. I don't believe this lost world will look at a post like that and say, you know what, I need to come to Jesus. Because it doesn't have the word, much word in it at all. It doesn't have a whole lot of Bible. And the Bible that it does have is out of context, or just not being, you know, really explained correctly or put to the right example. And here's the thing, this lost world, they're not going to be moved by that. Amen. They're smarter than that. What this lost world needs is, they do need the Bible. They do need Bible verses. They do need the truth, but it's got to be in the right context. And a lot of times it has to deal with sin, because you can tell someone, hey, the Lord's coming back. Well, if they don't think they're a sinner, that doesn't help them. Well, they're thinking, well, great. Hooray. We need to tell them the Lord, our judge, is coming back to judge sin. So remember, I said in that post, Genesis 1:14 is mentioned, before the Luke passage. It says Genesis 1:14, and this is part of the creation story. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." God is telling us that not only he created the sun, the moon, the stars, but he tells us why he did that. He said, "Hey, I am creating the sun, moon, stars, and I'm putting it in orbit, and I'm putting everything in just the right way, and making the earth spin the right way, and making it go around the sun the right way, and doing that with all the planets and everything else that we could see. Why? And I'm making days, I'm making years, I'm making seasons and everything else, and I'm doing it with order. I'm doing it with order, and I'm doing it in the same way. This is not a random thing." You ever notice that? When the sun comes up and when it goes down, that's not a random thing every day, right? And what I believe God is saying to not only us, but this lost world, he's saying, "Hey, if you look at this universe, it was so precisely created that it couldn't have been random or by chance. There is a creator God that made this universe." And here's the thing that amazes me. Computers have really helped us with this. They could have done it back when, but it would have been very tough. But you can get programs today that you can put in a place on this earth and a date, and it can show you in a second what the stars would look like that night. Anytime, in the past, in the future. You're thinking, "Well, how can the computer do that?" Because all of it's orderly. Right? How do they know exactly when the eclipse is going to happen? Because the earth is not speeding up and slowing down. The earth is not randomly deciding what to do and everything else. God said, "I put an order to all this. There will be seasons." Right? That's what he's told us. There's going to be seasons. Man cannot do anything to stop summer, winter, fall. You know, we can't stop that. We can't stop the day and the night from happening. God said, "I put it all in order." We have a powerful creator. And what's funny and ironic is this verse that they're using to say that the eclipse is a sign of Jesus's return is actually the opposite. This verse is God saying, "Hey, you know exactly when that eclipse is because I designed this universe orderly and you figured it out. It took you a while. You thought the earth was flat for a while. Then you realized it was round. Then you calculated, years later, how big the moon is and how far we are away from the sun and everything else that they've calculated. They still don't know how far the universe is. Right? They still don't know all these things, but in everything that we've learned and we can calculate and everything else, it should be pointing us back to God. It should be pointing us back to, hey, and here's the thing, that eclipse, what Luke is talking about as a sign, what he's saying is, when you see a miracle in the sky, an eclipse that lasts for a few minutes is not a miracle. It's rare. It's rare in any one spot. It doesn't happen a lot, but it's not a miracle. They know when it's going to happen. I'll tell you what's a miracle is on the cross, there was 3 hours of darkness. How'd that happen? Right? How did the eclipse last? Some people say, "Well, there was an eclipse there on that day." Well, that doesn't help. Because again, we've seen by all the calculations and everything else, the dead center of the eclipse gets not quite 4 minutes of darkness. How did he get 3 hours of darkness on the cross? That's a miracle. It's just proving the evidence of God's creation. So let's go back to Luke 21:25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Again, we have not seen that, but to get to verse 25, you have to get past verse 20 of Luke 21. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." That's not happening right now, right? And I hate to break it to people, the United States is not directly mentioned anywhere in the Bible. We are not the important part of the Bible at all. Now, here is what I would say. If that eclipse was going directly over Jerusalem, right where the temple was the very top, the very biggest part of the eclipse, and Jerusalem was surrounded by armies, and the eclipse lasted longer than 4 minutes, then okay, let's talk about that being a sign. All right, now I'm willing to talk about it. Let's throw a post up on Facebook and different things like that. But it does not move me that just a regular one is going across the U.S. because we know it's coming. It's not a miracle. It's just part of the way God set things up. But then I dug deeper and look at Luke 21. We'll go back to it. Look at verses 27 and 28. So even if you're thinking about these signs to come, look at verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. These two verses are very different. As Christians, I believe that we are verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, not when they come to pass, but just before they come to pass, what's he say? Then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Before everything really gets going, before the tribulation happens, we are to look up, right? Because the other group in verse 27, right, it doesn't say when we shall see or when you shall see. It says when then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You notice that verses 27 to 28 are two different groups of people. Jesus is saying, hey, they're going to see something and you are going to see something. You disciples, you church, you are going to see something. They're going to see something different. What are they going to see? The Son of Man, that's Jesus coming in all his power and glory. He doesn't say we're going to see that. Well, you're thinking, well, wait, what do you mean? The church is not going to see Jesus return to the earth from the earth, right? Because we're gone. Revelation 19 talks about Jesus returning to the earth on a white horse, talks about his names, talks about different things, and then his armies behind him are on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That is the church. When he comes back in all of his glory and power, we're not looking up and seeing that. We're following him back to the earth because we've already been to heaven and we're going back to earth with him. That's why he doesn't say when we shall see or when you shall see. He says, then shall they see the Son of Man. So here's the thing. These signs, the sun and the moon, the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened and stars falling from the sky, those signs are not even for the church. They're not even for us. It's for the ones that are left here through the tribulation and after. Those are the ones that will see it. So here's the thing. Let's not use prophecy to predict dates because we can't. We cannot predict. And here's the big one. We cannot predict when the rapture will occur. We can't predict it. Now, once it occurs, things start setting in motion, and God has given us timelines for how long the tribulation will last, when he will return, and things like that. So for people that are still there, you could kind of figure things out. But again, he says you're not going to know the day or the hour. You're not going to know when the church is taken up. You're not going to know when some of these things happen. But what the Lord says is every time where somebody wanted to know a date, or every time he gave signs and told us, hey, when these, he called it birth pains at one time or travail. You know, he says when you start to see the problems, just like a woman starting to show signs that the baby is coming, you still don't know when it's going to come, right? You know it's coming. You just don't know when. And I think that's where we're at. We know things are coming. We know things are happening. We know changes are coming. But I don't know if that means today, later today, or in another 100 years. I don't know. Things are starting. But God works a lot on a lot slower schedule than we do, right? So instead, every time he tells us to be ready and be serving him and spreading the gospel. That's why there's times where I know it. We get caught up in it and start sharing things and everything else, but I think we need to be careful and look at what the Bible really says. Listen, he created this earth. He did it orderly. He keeps it going. There are some people that say he kind of wound it up and kind of let it go. He keeps this earth going. He keeps everything moving. I didn't get the verses for that, but he keeps it all going, and it's orderly. You know, he's got order in the universe, because if it wasn't orderly, you could then say, well, there wasn't a creator. It just kind of happened. He's saying, no, I'm not going to give you an excuse, right? This thing works a specific way, and it always cracks me up when they say, well, we figured out if the earth was tilted a little differently, or if it spun at a different speed, or any, you change any of the things, and they say, well, you couldn't have human life here. And isn't it just amazing that just in all this random chance and big bang and everything else that we just happen to have the precise everything to have human life here? No, it was God. It was God. So I hope you enjoy the eclipse. It'll be neat to watch if it's not a cloudy day or something like that. But here's the thing. I'm looking for my redemption at any time. I'm looking to see Jesus at any day. We don't have to wait until April 8th. And if April 8th comes and goes, I'm not going to question my salvation or anything. I'm going to say, well, it was a neat thing to watch, but we still have a job to do. Amen. So just that's one example. But again, I've seen this pattern over and over again where people say, oh, well, the moon's going to do this next thing. It doesn't do very often that we'll get to see. You hate to say it, but big deal. When it comes to the Bible, big deal. I mean, it's neat to watch. Get your picture if you can. You know, go see it, everything else. But listen, that's not changing anything. Just like an election's not changing what we need to do, just like the Supreme Court's not going to change what we need to do, we've got a job to do, and it doesn't matter, eclipse or not, election or not, whatever or not, we've got a job to do. And as time is drawing short, whether it's literally drawing short because the rapture's imminent, or it's drawing short because we're not getting any younger, either way, we've got work to do. So I'm gonna open up the altar.